Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 163. Let's cook quiche. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast, of course, that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, growing our skills and confidence, making great connections. Today is the next iteration of a series of Let's Cook episodes I'm doing that deal with pie crust. If you listen to the previous episode, episode 162, you know I focused just on prepping some pie crusts to make some other dishes with. And in these Let's Cook episodes that are coming now, I'm sort of putting those pie crusts to use. And today we're going to be doing that by making a quiche. Before we get into all that, though, of course, I just want to mention that if you need the show notes for this episode where you can get to some links and the recipe that I cooked today, you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/163. Again, that's kitchencounterpodcast.com/163 to get to the show notes. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can find me lurking around on most social media platforms, although admittedly, I don't spend a lot of time at those places. Although the one place I do pop in and try to check in regularly is the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, which is the private Facebook group for the show. If you're interested in that, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. It'll take you there. You can ask to join, answer a couple of really easy questions, and we'll let you in and you're off to the races. By the way, I haven't mentioned this for a while, and if you're a fairly new listener to the show, and many of you are, you may not know this, but you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything on this show. I'm not trying to sign you up for anything so I can sell you something. This is really just a low-key home cooking show, low-key home cooking community over at the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break Facebook group. So don't feel that if you join, you're going to get spammed with sales pitches and sign up for this, or there's only a few days left to get this, sign up for this class or whatever. None of that happens here. It's really just a great community of folks that like to share recipes, share pictures, ask questions, help people out, that sort of stuff. So if you're interested and you're a Facebook person, I would check it out for sure. All right. Well, with that said, why don't we jump into today's episode? We're going to talk about making quiche. All right, well, this is a live cooking episode, and I am going to walk through live cooking a quiche, making a quiche. But before I get there, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about pre-baking pie crust, also sometimes called blind baking a pie crust. I did this for the recipe that I'm going to cook in a few minutes, but what I didn't do is record that portion live on the show. I had just a little bit of time to do it. It was really noisy at the moment, so I didn't really have a good opportunity to live record pre-baking a pie crust. So I'm just going to take a few minutes and explain that process now, and know that over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/163, there are, I'll put a couple of links in to resources that will walk you through blind baking a pie crust as well. So as I mentioned, blind baking or pre-baking a pie crust is the act of, well, just as it sounds like, baking your pie crust ahead of time before you add in the fillings. Now, why would you want to ever pre-bake a pie crust? Well, I would say there's a couple of instances where you would always want to pre-bake your pie crust. And then I think there's a lot of other scenarios where it might be a good idea, but it's certainly not required. So I would say in the instances where you definitely want to pre-bake your pie crust, well, one, if you're making a pie that you're not going to bake. So for example, let's say you want to make a coconut cream pie where there's no baking required to make that pie. If you put a pie crust in a pie pan and obviously just put your coconut cream filling and toppings in there, and chill it, well, that's great, except you've got a completely raw pie crust. It's just going to turn to goop, right? So by pre-baking it, you're baking the pie crust, you let it cool, you're prepping it for your coconut cream filling, right? So then you, when you go to chill your coconut cream pie, you've already got a baked pie crust in the bottom and you don't have to worry about it. That's just one example. Today's recipe, quiche, is another example where you will want to pre-bake your pie crust ahead of time with a custard pie, which, of course, a quiche really is a custard pie, an egg pie, if you will. So you're going to want to pre-bake your pie crust for that. In other scenarios where you might want to pre-bake your pie crust, but it's not necessarily required, would be any pie where you are going to bake it, but your filling is fairly liquidy. So some fruit pies could justify pre-baking your pie crust. Chicken pot pie or other pot pies, for example, savory pies, if you're going to use a bottom crust on those, sometimes pre-baking those is not a terrible idea, though I've made plenty of chicken pot pies double crusted where I've not pre-baked the bottom, and it turns out pretty fine. As you make different types of pies, you'll probably become more familiar with yourself on in what cases when you'd like to pre-bake your own pie crust or not. So how do you pre-bake a pie crust? What I did for the quiche today is, first of all, I'm using a 9-inch pie pan, a glass Pyrex pie pan, and I took out one of the pre-made pie crust doughs that I put together in episode 162, the last episode that you listened to. Now, by the way, I should say, you don't have to use homemade pie crust, right? If you go to the store, Trader Joe's or Safeway or Kroger or whatever, and buy a like a frozen or the cold pre-made pie crust in the deli section, those are perfectly fine to use. Don't feel that you have to make your own pie crust. So, but if you're interested in that, go back and listen to episode 162 and check out the recipe that I linked to in there. Good resource to know how to make pie crusts. They're easy to make and you can put them together fairly quickly. Okay, back to the topic at hand. So we're taking our pre-made pie dough out. I roll it out so I can put it into the 9-inch pie pan. Now to do that, I'm going to roll out a circle of pie dough about 12 inches in diameter. You always want to go over the size of your pie pan because you're going to need to account not only for the bottom of the pie pan, but the pie crust going up the sides and over the edge of the pie pan as well. So I think you want to shoot for at least 12 inches when you're doing a 9-inch pie. So I rolled my pie crust out. I pressed it into the pie pan so it covered the bottom and went up the sides, of course. Then I want to chill the pie crust for about 30 minutes in the fridge. So I go ahead and cover it with plastic wrap, pop it in the fridge for 30 minutes, and then preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit to prep for the pre-bake itself. Now, there's a couple of school of thoughts on what you do next for the pre-bake. So after you take your pie crust out of the fridge where it's been chilling for about a half an hour, when you pre-bake your pie crust, you don't want the bottom to bubble up and puff up, right? That's a big problem because then you're going to have a weird, uneven, or maybe even a broken open or ripped bottom pie crust. So there's two schools of thoughts here. One is that you can dock your pie crust. And what docking is, you take a fork and you pop holes in the bottom of your pie crust all over. The idea being that as the pie crust pre-bakes and moisture evaporates and steams, rather than puffing up your pie crust, the moisture and the steam will escape through those holes. So that's the docking method. The method I actually went with was the pie weight method. So the pie weight method means you actually put something in your pie crust to weigh it down so it can't bubble and puff up and rip and tear as you're pre-baking it. You can get a hold of some fancy pie weights, but you don't really need to do that. I just actually used about a pound of pinto beans, dried pinto beans and some tinfoil. And the method I used was I took tinfoil large enough to cover the pie crust, doubled it over so it was twice as strong, and then you press that into your pie crust, making sure that you're getting the tinfoil down to the corners, flat across the bottom, and then up and over the edge of the pie crust rim, if possible. And then I take my pinto beans, pour them in, make sure they're evenly spread along the bottom against the sides. Now, what this is going to do is it's not only going to hold the bottom of the pie crust down so it doesn't puff up and bubble up, but will also prevent the pie crust from shrinking up on the bottom, which will pull down the sides of your pie crust into the pie pan. So by holding the bottom flat with the pie weights, it will help the bottom stay flat and the sides stay up around the sides of the pie pan. Okay, so I've got my pie crust in the pie pan, chilled. I've lined it with tinfoil. I've poured pinto beans into the tin foil, and now I'm going to put my pie crust on the middle oven rack in that 400 degree oven. And for a quiche, I'm going to partially pre-bake the pie crust. If I were making a cream pie where there was no more baking to happen, I would fully pre-bake the pie crust. And the difference between the two is maybe 10 or 12 minutes. So the pie crust goes in the oven then, and I let it bake for about 10 minutes. You want to go 10 to 12 minutes probably. At that point, you want to take the pie pan out, and then you want to carefully remove the foil and the beans. And that's the key here. You basically pull up the sides of the foil. You can lift all of the beans right out of there. And then you return that pie crust to the oven without any of the foil or the pie weights in there and cook it again for about another 6 minutes. At that point, you can pull it out, set it aside, let it cool down, and we'll be ready to get the quiche going. If you wanted to blind bake your pie crust for a no-bake pie, for that second part, when you put it back into the oven, instead of 6 minutes, you probably want to put it in there for about 12 or 15 minutes until it's completely golden brown on the bottom and along the sides. All right, so that is how I blind baked my pie crust for the quiche recipe that I am about to make on this live cooking episode. So without further ado, let's jump over and talk about quiche. Hey everybody, this is Roger. Welcome back to the kitchen. Today we are tackling quiche. And I know at the top of the episode, before I switched over to the live cooking mode, I talked a little bit about pie crusts and quiche. And this is, you know, another episode of live cooking continuing on the pie crust series that we've been doing. So quiche, that came up in the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break group. So I thought it would be fun to tackle that today. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I am using a partially baked pie crust, and I will have already explained how I tackle that. But for the quiche today, we are going to be making a quiche that has sun-dried tomatoes, spinach, and goat cheese. Now, quiches are pretty straightforward and simple. As far as ingredients go, I'm using one pre-baked pie crust in a pie pan, 9-inch. I have 2 large eggs plus 2 egg yolks. I've got 3/4 cup whole milk and 3/4 of a cup heavy cream. A half a teaspoon of salt, a half a teaspoon of ground black pepper. I've got about a cup or so of chopped fresh spinach. I've got about 1/3 of a cup of sun-dried tomatoes. And I've got 4 ounces of goat cheese crumbled, which comes to just a little bit more than 3/4 of a cup, somewhere between 3/4 of a cup and a cup. And we're going to mix that in. So what a quiche essentially is an egg pie. And a funny story about this, I remember early on in my wife and I, our relationship, and I can't remember if we were married yet or not, but my wife had made a quiche and we were traveling to the coast to visit my parents. And this was a beautiful quiche. I don't remember what was in it. That might have been like a quiche Lorraine with bacon and Gruyere cheese or Swiss cheese. But at any rate, we get there and Tracy, my wife, takes the quiche out. My dad looks at it and he's like, "What's that?" And I think Tracy said, "It's quiche." And he's like, "I'm not going to eat that." He's, you know, it sounded weird. And at some point, my mom took us aside and said, "Look, he's not going to eat it if you call it quiche, but if you call it egg pie, he'll be fine with it." So we started calling it egg pie. He was fine with it. He loved it. Anyway, so quiche is an egg pie because it's made with eggs and cream and milk. Now, if you're thinking quiche is like a frittata, it's not. Think of a frittata more as a closer cousin to an omelet. Think of the texture of an omelet. You know, an omelet is firm. It's cooked through firm egg, right? Omelet texture. That's sort of the texture of a frittata. A quiche is more on the custard side of the egg and cream family. So we're not looking for a firm cook-through texture. We're looking for more of a soft, silky, somewhat firm, but sort of melt-in-your-mouth, soft, custardy-like texture. That's what a quiche is. So as far as equipment goes, I've got, again, my pre-baked pie crust sitting here. I've got a bowl in which I'll mix up the eggs and the cream and the salt and the pepper. And I've got a whisk and a silicone spoon here, which I'll use just to help me transfer the mixture from the bowl over to the pie crust. So first thing I'm going to do, though, is I make sure my oven is preheating. I'm cooking at 375 degrees Fahrenheit today. Let me get my eggs going. That's the one thing I haven't gotten on my mise en place yet, are the eggs. So I'm going to do 2 whole eggs. Large eggs.
I'm just cracking these into a small bowl. And then I'm going to do two egg yolks. And if you've ever tried to separate egg yolks, I need another bowl because when I crack open egg number three, from which I only want a yolk, I'm going to basically crack the egg in half so I have two half shells. Then, as I pour the egg between the two shells, I let most of the white run off in between the pores, and I should be left with just a yolk. Did that one okay. Let's do one more. You don't want to mangle this egg again. You want to pull it apart, crack it, and pull it apart gently so you have two halves. Let the egg white run out as you're transferring them back and forth from half shell to half shell, and then you'll end up with nothing but yolk, and that's going to go into the mix. Okay, so now I've got two whole eggs and two egg yolks. Give my hands a quick wash here. Okay, now into my bowl, I am going to whisk together my eggs, my 3/4 cup heavy cream, and 3/4 cup whole milk, my 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and about 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, which I haven't measured out, so I'm just going to give myself a few cracks. If you have white pepper, that would work well too. I just don't happen to have any white pepper on hand. So I'm going to give this a good whisk. I want the eggs broken up and combined completely with the cream and the milk. So I'm just using a wire whisk here in a glass bowl. Give it several good passes with the whisk until it looks like everything is nice and incorporated. Looks great. Now, I've got my pie crust ready to go. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to grab a fork. That'll help me with some of these ingredients. So actually what I'm going to do is I'm not going to mix the cheese, the goat cheese, the sun-dried tomatoes, or the spinach into the liquid mix. I'm actually going to put these, spread them out along the bottom of the pie crust, and then pour the liquid mixture over. So spread out the goat cheese. Now, for the sun-dried tomatoes, I just bought a glass jar. I think the brand I've got is the Mazzetta sun-dried tomatoes. They're already julienned, or they're already cut into strips. They are packed in oil. So what I like to do is take out from the jar as many as I want, and then I put them in a strainer, and I go ahead and rinse them off with cold water just to rinse off some of that oil because they can be quite oily. And then I'm going to take the spinach here and I'm just going to sprinkle it in. Spinach should cook down a bit. I might not use the entire cup of spinach. The way I did the spinach was I did a chiffonade. If you're not familiar with that term, it's where you take the leaves of the spinach and you take several leaves and you stack them up until you have a stack of leaves, and then you roll them up together into one tight roll of a bunch of leaves. And then you can take your knife and just slice strips right off, and then you have these beautiful, uniform, long strips of spinach. All right, I think we're going to call that good. I probably used about 3/4 of a cup. My pie crust isn't the most beautiful thing in the world, but... Okay, now we're going to go ahead and pour this into the pie crust. And it should leave the liquid mixture that is into the pie crust, the eggs, the cream, and the milk. And that should leave it about 1/2 inch or so down the side of the pie crust. It will expand, and we don't want it to overflow the pie crust if we can help it. Looks pretty good. See how this turns out. You know, I do have a confession to make. I've actually never made a quiche before. I've eaten many, many quiches in my day, but I've never actually baked one. So my lack of finesse in the baking department will probably come through loud and clear when you see how ugly the edges of my pie crust are. But hey, you know what? I'm sure it's still going to taste pretty good. Okay, so my oven is at 375 degrees. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pop the quiche in the middle oven rack. And I'm going to keep an eye on it. I don't want to spill it. Hold on, I can't talk and put this in at the same time. I'm going to put the timer on for 30 minutes. It might take a little bit less. It might take a little bit longer. Keep an eye on it more, you know, visually than just a arbitrary time allotment to bake it. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep an eye on it. When it starts to get a nice golden, light golden color on top, we're going to pull the rack out. We're going to give it a test. And what we're going to do is take a sharp knife, and then we're going to find a spot about 1 inch in from the side of the pan. And we're going to put the knife into the bottom and pull it out. And if it comes out clean and the middle of the quiche is has a consistency of, let's say, gelatin, it should be ready to go. We'll be able to take it out, and it will set up a little bit more as it cools. If the knife comes out and it's not clean, it's going to need a few more minutes, and then we'll just kind of check it every couple of minutes or so until we're comfortable with it. I'm going to turn my oven light on so I can keep an eye on it. All right, so the quiche is in the oven, and we're going to let that go, like I said, maybe for about 30 minutes. We're going to take a break in a second, and then we'll come back and see how our progress is. Before I get there, though, I just wanted to mention there are a few other ideas for quiche fillings. So the quiche I'm making certainly would qualify as vegetarian, not vegan, of course, because, well, one, I've got butter in the pie crust, but I've also got a lot of cream and cheese in the filling. But it would certainly qualify as vegetarian. Another very popular quiche would be quiche Lorraine, which is a similar recipe to this, except for the ingredients added in. It would be bacon and some sort of a Swiss cheese, like a Gruyere cheese. But there are a lot of different types of quiches, flavorings you can add in. I just grabbed a couple of books I have on my shelf to see what some of the ingredients are. So for example, you could do a ham and asparagus. You could do leek and goat cheese. You could do seafood quiches with crab meat. So there are a lot of ingredients you can add in. Kind of like a frittata, depending on what you have on hand, you can do some experimenting with your quiche. I would say that if you don't have a lot of add-ins, a lot of solid add-ins, you might want to increase your liquid ingredients up to maybe a cup each of the heavy cream and whole milk. But because of the ingredients that I'm putting in, they do take up some volume, and I don't want the liquid ingredients to overfill the pie crust. And I could see that they would had I made a cup of each of the whole milk and heavy cream. I probably would have gone over the pie crust. But if you don't have those other ingredients in your quiche, you'll probably need a little bit more of the liquid filling. All right, folks, let's take a break, and we'll hop back over here in a few minutes and see how this quiche is coming along. All right, everybody, welcome back. The quiche has been in the oven for about 30 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and pop the door open, and we're going to do our knife test. Let's see here. So I just have an ordinary sharp paring knife. I'm going to go ahead and open the oven and pull this out far enough where I can find a spot about 1 inch in. I'm just going to push the knife in and pull it out. Almost, not quite coming out clean. There's still a little bit left on the knife, so I'm going to put it in for maybe 2 more minutes. And we'll check it again. All right. All right, everybody, the quiche has been in the oven for a couple more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and grab my paring knife, pop it open, and see how we're doing now. It's definitely, whew, loving Blasser. It's definitely picked up a little more color on top. Give it a poke. Oh, yeah, coming out nice and clean towards the edge. And, yeah, just a little moist still in the middle. So that is perfect. I'm going to go ahead and pop this out. I'm going to set this quiche on a rack so when it cools down, shut the oven door here. I'm going to go ahead and put the quiche on a rack so when it cools down, the air circulation can go all the way around the pie pan. That way it won't condense and get soggy on the bottom. It's got a nice little jiggle to it. I think this is going to turn out great. This bad boy is going to have to cool a while before we can dig into it here, but I will definitely include an update in the postscript of the show coming up, along with a reminder of the show notes link so you can get the recipe and other information on making quiche. This is Roger for the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.
Hey, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that live cooking episode where we made up a delicious quiche. You know, I mentioned in the episode I didn't have time to taste it while I was recording because it was really hot and I had to go and it needed to cool down. But never fear, I did taste it. Actually, my wife tasted it too. We ate a bunch of it. We had it the next day for lunch, which is even better, I think, the next day because it really sets up nicely in the chilled fridge. But man, it was perfect. It was custardy. It was light. The interplay of the tangy goat cheese and the sun-dried tomatoes and the spinach, it was just a really great bite. So again, if you need the show notes for this episode, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/163 to get the recipe and some links to the pre-baking the pie crust, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show. If you tackle quiche or anything else with some homemade pie crust, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com or hop over to the Facebook group at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group and share what you've made. All right, everybody. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Once again, thank you so much for taking some time, spending it with me here, listening to me make quiche. I hope it was just inspiring enough to make you go out and want to give something like this a try. And you know what? If you do get some value out of the show, if you do think your friends and your family might get some value out of the show, please, by all means, share with them how to find the podcast and how to listen to the podcast. That would be fantastic. And it helps grow our great little community here. All right, once again, folks, this is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I hope you're staying happy. I hope you're staying healthy and doing what you need to do to get by in these interesting times in which we find ourselves. Until next time, happy cooking.